a continuation of my lectures at the summer school. Okay. So let me briefly review what we learn in the school. Okay. In fact, the main points that I'll be using in this lecture. Okay. So in the school, we discuss decay of d-brains, of unstable dp brains without electric field. Okay. And what we saw was that there are two apparently different ways of studying this decay. One is by simply thinking of this as a classical open string system. Okay. So we solve the classical open string field equations by writing down appropriate boundary conformal field theories and extract results about the system. The other method was to use the description in terms of closed string radiation. Okay, that this particular unstable background acts as a source of closed strings, various closed string fields, and as a result it radiates closed strings. And what we found was that the properties of this system as predicted from the classical open string analysis were the same as the ones that we got from the closed string analysis. Okay. And this led to some specific conjecture duality about open strings, the open string description and the closed string description of the system. And so what we plan to do is to repeat the same analysis, but now with electric field. Okay. But first, let's recall what were the results for unstable d-brain decay without electric field. Okay. So first, I'll quote the results of the open string analysis. In this analysis, what we had found was that the energy density of this system remains constant simply by conservation of energy, and this constant was parameterized by a parameter which I called lambda tilde. Okay. And this is the tension of the brain. Then there was the other components of the energy momentum tensor. So other non-zero components of the energy momentum tensor took the form minus the same tension times some function of time times delta ij for I and j running from 1 to p. Okay. And finally, we calculated dilate on charge density, which had the form of the tension times the same function. Okay. Where this function for the case of superstrings had the following form. Okay. And finally, I should just mention that each of these is actually multiplied by a delta function involving the transverse coordinates, but I will not write down these delta functions in explicitly from now on. Okay. This simply says that the various charges and energy densities are localized in the transverse direction. Okay. But for most part, I will talk about integrated energy momentum tensor, where you have a integrated over the transverse direction, okay, and hence not write these delta functions explicitly. So the key point to note is that this function, okay, vanishes as time goes to infinity, okay, and this implies that Tij goes to 0 and Q goes to 0 as time goes to infinity. Okay. So this contains information about pressure. So Tij goes to 0 is equivalent to saying that the pressure of the system goes to 0, and this simply says that the delay on charge goes to 0. So this is what we get by doing a classical open string analysis. On the other hand, we can study closed string radiation from the same system. Okay. And the result of this analysis was that the decay products contain heavy closed strings, mass of order 1 over g and velocity of order g to the half, okay, where g is a coupling constant. Okay. And this immediately implies that the pressure of such a system, or pressure over energy density, okay, goes as square of the velocity and this goes to 0 in the limit of weak coupling, okay, and this is the limit in which you are doing the calculation on the open string side anyway. Okay. Furthermore, the closed strings do not give sources, do not have charges under the dilaton field. So closed strings do not carry any dilaton charge. Okay. So this implies that the total dilaton charge of final state is 0. Okay. And so you see that there is perfect agreement between what we get from the open string analysis, namely the pressure should go to 0 and the dilaton charge should go to 0 in the asymptotic future. Okay. This agrees with what you get from the closed string analysis, because this tells us that the total dilaton charge of the final state must vanish, as well as the total pressure over energy density ratio of the final state must vanish. Okay. And this is what led to this conjecture duality between open and closed strings, namely that the three-level open string theory already knows something about the closed strings which will be produced in the decay of the D-brain. So as I said, what we want to do is to repeat this analysis for decay of D-brains with electric field, because we will see that when D-brains carry electric field, there are much more sensitive tests that one can perform of the same kind of comparison. Okay. We will again compare the open string results with the closed string results and see what we get. So before I go on, are there any questions on this? Okay, so let's now begin by discussing decay of unstable D brains with electric field. Okay. And I will take the electric field to be equal to E along the x1 direction. Okay, so where x1 is one of the directions along the D brain. Now, in this case, the open string results can be derived by very similar analysis using appropriate boundary conformal field theory, and I will write down the results of this analysis, okay, without giving the details. Okay. So, results in tree level open string theory. So first of all, the energy density again remains constant and can be parameterized more or less in a similar fashion. Okay. So lambda tilde is again the parameter that labels the total energy of the system. This is again the tension, and E is the electric field that you have introduced. Now, as far as the other components of the energy momentum tensor are concerned, because we have an electric field along x1, okay, there will be an asymmetry. Okay, not all the other components of energy momentum tensor will have the same form. Okay, and I should probably say that this was done in a paper with Partho Mukhopadhyay. The open string part of the analysis, okay, using the boundary conformal field theory technique. Okay, so what about the other components of the energy momentum tensor? First of all, we have T11. Okay, T11 has the form where it's a sum of two terms. Again, E is the electric field, lambda tilde is the same parameter, and this function f is exactly the same function. Okay. All that has happened, okay, the function that I had written down here, all that has happened is that the argument x0 is scaled by this factor of square root of 1 minus e square. Okay. So the effect of this electric field is to slow down this whole process. Pardon? Yeah. So what one can show is that the electric field remains constant all along this motion. Okay, that's a constant of motion. Yeah, so this is constant. Okay, what about other components of the stress tensor? Tij is I am only writing down the components which are non-zero. All the other components that I have not written are zero. Okay. Then you have Q, the dilaton charge. This is okay. And finally, in this case, there is an extra charge which was not present in the previous case, okay, and this is the charge that couples to the antisymmetric tensor field background. Okay, this, in the presence of an electric field, an unstable D brain is a source of antisymmetric tensor field, and hence we can also define a charge for antisymmetric tensor field. This is the charge to which the antisymmetric tensor field couples. Okay, and so the only non-zero component is the 0, 1 component, and that has the form
t tilde p e 1 minus e square to the minus half cos square pi lambda tilde. Okay.
So this has, so this is the B01 charge. Okay. We can also think of this as a winding number along the x1 direction. Okay, fundamental string winding number along the x1 direction, because the B01 charge measures the fundamental string winding number. Okay. So what this shows is that in the presence of an electric field, a D-brain acts as a source of fundamental string charge. Okay, and this is the value of this source. And we see that by conservation laws, T00 and S01 remains constant. Okay, because the total energy density cannot change during the process of D-brain decay, and the total fundamental string winding charge also cannot change in the process of D-brain decay, and that comes out automatically from this open string analysis. So if we again take the limit of asymptotic future x0 going to infinity, okay, then this function goes to 0, okay, for any fixed t, and so you only have to keep the terms that do not involve f. Okay. So what this tells us, okay, let's begin with s01. Okay. This of course is constant, so this is T tilde P E 1. Okay. And let me define this to be pi. Okay, capital pi, this is the total fundamental string charge of the system. Now in terms of this quantity pi, we can easily express the other quantities. So T00, for example, okay, if you compare with this expression, we can easily check is pi over E. T11 is minus pi times E. Tij goes to 0 for ij equal to 2 to p, and Q goes to 0. Okay, so the delayed on charge goes to 0 as usual. The components of energy momentum tensor in directions transverse to the electric field go to 0, but the component of the energy momentum tensor along the electric field remains at this value minus pi times E. So this is the result in tree-level open string theory. And so what we want to do now is to calculate the same charges in closed string description by examining what happens, what kind of closed string states this system decays into, and then calculate the same charges in the closed string description and see if they agree with this. Okay. If they agree with this, then this will be further support to this open closed duality conjecture that I had mentioned earlier. So the goal is to compute these charges in closed string description and compare with the open string results. Okay. Now, before we go into the details of the calculation, let's try to examine how many independent checks do we have. Okay, how many independent charges can we compare? Okay. And to see that, we note that since the fundamental string charge is conserved, as well as the total energy density is conserved, okay, by definition, the final state closed strings must carry this much amount of winding charge and this much amount of energy density. Okay, this is not something that we can choose, with that we can adjust. Okay, this should always be true, that the final state closed strings carry all the energy density which was there before and all the winding charge which was there before. So, the closed string state must have total winding charge pi and total energy density, winding charge density, okay. So given these two, we can check the non-trivial relations, namely T11 should come out to be minus pi times C, okay, where E, sorry, let me write this pi by E, okay, T00 we have already seen. Here is pi by E. Okay. So E is simply the ratio of the winding charge over energy. That defines E for the final closed string states. Okay. So given these two charges, total winding charge and total energy density, we must check that T11 should turn out to be minus pi times C. Tij should be 0 and Q should be 0. In particular, we note that unlike in the case of the decay of de Brens without electric field, where the comparison was between quantities which are supposed to vanish both in the open string and the closed string sector, okay, here you have a non-vanishing quantity, namely T11, and there is a specific prediction for what that quantity should be in the closed string description. Okay, and this is then what we should try to verify in the by analyzing the final state closed strings. Okay, are there any questions?
The electric field everywhere appears like square root 1 minus E squared. Is there a simple explanation?
Yeah, okay, one explanation of this is by using the Cyber-Guetin map, that we can map the problem in the open string sector, we can map the problem with electric field to the problem without electric field by making the Cyber-Guetin transformation. Okay. And typically what it does is to, it removes the electric field and at the same time it introduces a non-commutativity parameter. Okay. But here, because the solutions depend on only one coordinate, that non-commutativity parameter does not affect the solution at all. Okay. So the only effect of taking from electric field from E to 0, okay, is a change in the definition of the open string metric. Okay. And that's what is responsible for this rescaling. Okay. But it's not, completely straightforward to get this result, because we also see that here, for example, there is an E square, right? It's not always in the 1 minus E square combination. But we can derive this result using Cyber-Guetin map from the case when you have no electric field.
Can you think about the difference of electric field into also velocity?
Yeah, you can think of this as a boost factor. Okay, if you compactify, okay, and go to the T-dual picture, okay, then E is like the velocity and this is the boost factor. Okay, so this then is what we need to check, that in the closed string description, this is the, these are the various charges that we should get. The final state closed strings must carry T11, Tij and Q as predicted by this. And of this, we see that this relation in some sense is a trivial relation from the closed string viewpoint, because closed string states do not carry dilaton charge. Okay, in whatever form you produce closed strings, they do not couple to dilaton because their wall volume, okay, is insensitive to the presence of zero momentum dilaton. So this is automatic as long as the final state consists of closed strings. In contrast, if the final state had consistent of d-brains, for example, then this would no longer be true, because the d-brains, okay, even d-d-bar pair, okay, would carry dilaton charge, because d and anti-d carry the same sign dilaton charge. Okay. But if the final state consists of closed strings, then the dilaton charge is automatically zero. So these are the non-trivial relations to be checked. Okay, before I give any of the details, let me first outline in two steps what is it that we will try to establish. Okay. So we shall show the following two results from which it will follow automatically that the final state closed strings have precisely these properties. So the first result is that the dominant decay mode each carry what does this mean? Okay. You see from here, okay, that because the total winding charge density is forced to be equal to pi, and the total energy density is forced to be equal to pi by E, okay, the total winding charge to total energy density ratio has to be E. Okay, there is, I mean, this is a constraint that you have to satisfy. But this could be satisfied by producing a number of closed strings in the final state, some of which will have this ratio larger than E, some of which will have this ratio less than E. Okay. What we will show is that those types of final states are suppressed. Okay. That the dominant final states are those for which each closed string has precisely the ratio energy over widening equal to 1 over E, is equal to 1 over E. Okay. This is the first step. Then in the second step, we will show that for each such closed string, we have T11 over winding equal to minus E
and Tij over winding equal to 0. Okay. And this will automatically imply that total T11 minus C times total winding and total Tij equal to 0 times total winding, namely 0. Is this point clear? Okay. This without the first result, this will not be true. Okay. That okay, let me set in the following. Suppose we have in the final state two closed strings, a closed string of winding energy equal to W1 U1 and another closed string of winding energy equal to W2 E2. Okay, suppose we have two closed strings in the final state, one with winding energy W1 energy E1 and another with winding W2 energy E2. So in that case, the total winding is W1 plus W2 and total energy is equal to U1 plus E2. Okay. This is forced to be equal to pi and this is forced to be equal to pi over E. Okay. So this says that U1 plus E2 over W1 plus W2 is equal to 1 over D. Now suppose the second result is true, okay, without the first result. Okay. In that case, the first string has T11. Okay. What will be T11? Okay. It will be winding, which is W1, times the winding over energy ratio of the first string. E, okay, is the winding over energy ratio. In that case, E will be the winding over energy ratio of the first string. Right? It doesn't know about the total winding over energy because the properties of the first string will depend on the properties, the winding and energy of the first string. So it will be minus W1 times W1 over E1. Okay. And the second string has T11 equal to minus W2 times W2 over E2. Okay. So this will tell us that the total T11 over total winding will be equal to minus W1 square over E1 plus W2 square over E2 over W1 plus W2.
Okay. And this, in general, is not equal to this. Okay. Whereas this open string result tells us that the total T11 over total winding ratio, okay, must be given by minus E. Okay, what is E in this case? W1 plus W2. In general. Is this point clear? Okay. In other words, what I am saying, okay, is that the first result tells us that the each of the string carries the same energy over winding ratio. Okay. Second result tells us that for a string carrying energy over winding ratio equal to some number E, the corresponding T1 or some number 1 over E, the corresponding T11 over winding ratio is given by minus E. Okay. So if we had only the second result and not the first one, okay, then we will find that the total T11 over total winding is given by some expression like this. Okay. And this is not equal to what it is supposed to be from the open string analysis, unless W1 over E1 is equal to W2 over E2. Okay. If W1 over E1 is equal to W2 over E2, then you can easily verify that this relation is true. Okay, are there any questions? Okay. So the claim is that together, if we have both 1 and 2, okay, this will imply that total T11 over total winding is minus E, okay, and total Tij is equal to 0, exactly as predicted by the open string analysis. Okay. If either 1 or 2 is false, then we don't get the result that we get that we had in the open string analysis. So, in order to show that the final set closed strings give result in agreement with the final with the open string analysis, we have to establish first of all that each string has the same energy over winding ratio. Each string that is produced in this decay process has the same energy over winding ratio, and that for such string, T11 over winding ratio is given by minus the inverse of the energy over winding ratio. Maybe I should write here instead of writing minus C, okay, the what I'll, because at the second step we don't need minus C, that this is minus winding over T naught naught. Okay, that for if you focus on one particular closed string carrying some winding and some energy, what we will show is that the T11 over winding is equal to minus the winding over T naught naught for that string. And so, if we can establish this, this will imply that open closed duality is valid even in this case. Okay, are there any questions?
It's precise statement, open closed duality.
Okay, at this level, the statement is that the three-level open string results, okay, already know about what the final state closed strings are because it reproduces whatever property is expected of the final state closed strings. Okay, so we do this calculation independently. We do a three-level open string analysis to calculate the various charges in the final state. And then we do the same calculation for by actually looking at the closed string decay, the decay into closed strings, and compare. Okay. So the first step is established by a state counting analysis. Okay. We will try to argue that if we just look at the density of states, okay, then it's predominantly favorable to have final state where each final state string carries energy over winding ratio of this form. Okay, the same energy over winding ratio. Try to establish the first result by looking at where the density of states for the final state is maximized. Okay. So for this, let's consider a closed string. Of energy equal to E, winding equal to W, and then transverse momentum equal to P part. So then we have the relation, the usual mass energy relation, W square plus P part square plus 4n, okay, where this is the level number. Okay, so 4n basically represents mass square of the particle. Sorry, 4n plus W square is the mass square. Okay, n is the level number. This is the usual mass formula for closed strings, okay, which carries both winding and momentum in perpendicular directions. Now we know that for such states, the density of state, okay, which I'll call D as a function of E, W and P power, okay, this up to power law correction, this goes as exponential 2 beta h square root of n, okay, where this is just a constant, okay, or inverse agate on temperature. Okay. And so if you express n in terms of E, W and transverse momentum, this is simply exponential beta h square root E square minus W square minus 2 part square. Okay, I should say that this result of course is valid when n is large, okay, which means when E, W and P power are very large, and that's the region we are considering because the final set closed strings are supposed to be very heavy, okay, because total energy available is of order 1 over G string, okay, and we are taking the limit when G string goes to 0. Okay, so given this, let's consider the following problem, that suppose we have total charges W total and E total, okay, and transverse momentum 0. Okay, suppose this is the original D-Brenn configuration, which is decaying, has total winding W total, total energy E total and no transverse momentum. Okay. And suppose it decays into a pair of closed strings. With quantum numbers W1, E1, E perp, okay, and the other quantum numbers will automatically be W total minus W1. So what will be the density of states for this final state? Okay. Again, if we ignore power law corrections, okay, and which you can do in this case because exponentials clearly dominate, okay, this is the product of these two . So it's a product of two exponentials, because d is given by this exponential factor over here. Okay. And now suppose we try to maximize the density of states, okay, with respect to the final state. Okay. What this means is that, of course, the total energy and total winding are fixed. Okay. But given the total energy and total winding, okay, we can try to maximize it with respect to E1, W1 and P-pop. Okay, it's a simple exercise that you can carry out, just product of two exponentials, and you are trying to maximize with respect to a set of variables, and we can easily check that the result, okay, is that U1 over W1 equal to E total over W total, P power equal to 0, and this of course also automatically means that E total minus E1 over W total minus W1 equal to E total over W total. Okay. In other words, this says that if we have a final state which consists of two closed strings, okay, whose total energy is fixed and total winding is fixed, okay, then the maximum density of states occurs in the sector where the ratio of energy to winding of each of the closed strings is equal to the ratio of the total energy to total winding. Is this point clear? Okay. That we can maximize density of states by taking the ratio of energy to winding of each of the final closed strings, final state closed strings, to be the same. And that is the same as the original energy to winding ratio. Now here I have talked about two final state closed strings, but you can easily generalize it to multiple final state closed strings. So imagine that you have the total system decaying into closed strings of quantum numbers W1, P1, W2, P2 and so on, so that the sum of all the W's is fixed and sum of all the E's is fixed, sum of all the transverse momentum is 0. You can check that each, now when you maximize with respect to the each energy and W, energy and winding, we can show that the ratio of energy to winding for each of those closed strings will turn out to be the same as the ratio of energy of to winding of the original, of the full, of the complete state. So what does this mean? This says that with the mild assumption that the matrix element for this decay does not depend drastically on these quantum numbers E, W, etc. The predominant final state will be closed strings, each with carrying the same energy to winding ratio. Okay. So, assuming and this is precisely what we want to establish, okay, that the final set closed strings each carry the same winding to energy ratio. Okay. And I should say that this assumption can be verified in the limit of small compactification radius, because if in the limit when you, okay, so suppose you have the electric field E, okay, I should have probably said that I am assuming implicitly that the x1 direction is compact, because that's when we can talk about a winding charge. Okay, but I have not said anything about how what the radius of compactification is. So, in principle, we can take it to be large. Okay, but in the limit when the radius goes to 0, we can relate it by T duality to moving D0 brains. Okay, and in that limit, we can explicitly compute this, the matrix elements, okay, using the Lambert, Liu and Mollison result for static D brains. Okay, and we can explicitly verify that indeed there is no strong dependence on these quantum numbers for that. There is no strong dependence of the decay amplitude on the final state quantum numbers. Okay. So basically, what the final state will be is controlled by the density of states. Yeah.
What precisely what do you mean by strong? If I have a strong dependence.
That it's not exponential, because here we see that these are exponential functions, right? So they are very sharp. Okay, as long as the final state, as long as this dependence is less than these exponentials, okay, these will dominate. Yeah.
Is it still true that the most likely configuration is single string?
Okay, that depends on the number of transverse dimensions and so on. Okay, but yeah, so that can vary depending on whether the other dimensions are compact or non-compact. But the fact that each string carries the same energy over winding ratio, that is true irrespective of that information. Yeah. Yeah, because if one could show that the dominant final state is a single string, then of course we don't have to do this. Okay, and I should also perhaps say that here I have ignored power law corrections, because in writing down all these formulae, okay, I forgot about power law corrections. But once you take into account the power law corrections, okay, this tells us that P power P is not really 0, but it's of order E total square minus W total square the 1/4. Okay, so even if E and W are very large, P basically grows as square root of E. Okay, so this then establishes one.
Okay.
Namely that the dominant decay products are have the same winding to energy ratio.
Okay.
And so now we have to establish two, namely we have to calculate the energy momentum tensors associated with a single wound string and see what result one gets. And here I am focusing on a single string. Okay, because once we can establish the result that I quoted earlier for a single string, then this result that each has the same winding to energy will tell us that we can simply add them up very easily. Okay, so for single string, what we will do is to use covariant gauge. So in the covariant gauge, the string coordinate, the string wall sheet coordinate has an expansion of this form. Okay, where x mu oscillator represents the usual oscillator part. These are the various momentum and winding quantum numbers, and since we are talking about wound strings, we have to put them in. But the non-zero components to leading order, to the order that we want to do this calculation of P mu and W mu are P0 and W1. Why P0? Because after all, the string carries some energy, right? So the zero component of the momentum should be non-zero. Okay. But the fact that the transverse momentum is small, it goes as square root of the energy. So the ratio of transverse momentum to energy goes to zero when E is large. Okay. We can forget about all other components of the momentum in this formula. And here, since the final state closed strings are supposed to carry winding charge along the one direction, I have put in a W1. In general, W1 is non-zero. Okay, the other W's can be set to zero. So what is the energy momentum tensor? So you can write down the wall sheet action in the covariant gauge by the standard Polyakov action. Okay. And we can calculate the energy momentum tensor and the winding charge by coupling the wall sheet action to the background metric and antisymmetric tensor field, and taking the derivative of the wall sheet action with respect to the metric and antisymmetric tensor field. Right? The standard definition of the energy momentum tensor and antisymmetric tensor field charge. So let me write down the result of what one gets by what kind of expression one gets. For this system. So T mu nu as a function of the space-time coordinate. So Y is the space-time coordinate. Is some constant times integration over the wall sheet variables. Is it clear how to do this? This is obtained by simply taking the derivative of the wall sheet action with respect to the background matrix G mu nu of y, okay, and then setting G mu nu equal to eta mu nu. Right? Because you are ultimately interested in calculating this in flat space-time background, but you simply couple the wall sheet theory to background G mu nu, differentiate, and then set it G mu nu equal to eta mu nu. Okay. And this is the result one gets. Similarly, we can calculate S mu nu, which is again calculated by delta S wall sheet delta B mu nu y, and then setting B mu nu equal to 0. Okay. And this is given by a very similar formula, same constant C, d sigma d tau. Okay, I should have said d is 9 for superstring, okay, which is what we are doing here, but I have written general d because one could also do this for bosonic string. Okay, this you should be able to verify quite easily by beginning with the wall sheet action. So this is the wall sheet expression for energy momentum tensor and anti-symmetric tensor field charge associated with a vibrating closed string. And now we note that what we are interested in is calculating these charges in the final state when things have equilibrated. Okay, because we wait for infinite amount of time and then we calculate these charges. Okay, so we want to compute this in asymptotic future. Okay. And so what we will do is to integrate first of all over the transverse coordinate y part and average over y0 and y1. So which means you basically time average as well as average over the length of the string. Okay, because you want to calculate the average total charge and total winding averaged over the length and time. If you do that, that will basically amount to doing the integration over y. Okay, and then this averaging will involve dividing by terms from space-time volume, but that will be the same factor here and here. Okay, so the result of doing this is, if we denote this averaging and integration process by this symbol, it's some other constant k, integral d sigma d tau, and S mu nu will be given by the same constant, okay, which basically means that you have just integrated over the y's and gotten rid of the delta function. Okay. So at this stage, we simply substitute for the mode expansion. Okay, we had written down the mode expansion for x mu earlier. We just substitute in here. Okay, and I leave it as an exercise to check that all the oscillator parts cancel. Okay, because the oscillator contribution to this exactly cancel the oscillator contribution to this. Okay, the time derivative part, okay, and the space derivative part, or the world sheet time derivative part and the world sheet space derivative part gives exactly the same contribution, and because of the minus sign, the oscillator part goes away. Similarly, here again the oscillator part goes away, okay, when you substitute the expansions for x. Okay, so check x mu oscillator contribution . So the only contribution that is left over is the contribution from the momentum and winding. Okay, when you substitute the x mu, if you recall, x mu had p mu tau plus w mu sigma. Okay, these are the only terms which are going to contribute to this. Okay, nothing else will contribute. So the result is, if you do this substitution, and all other components vanish. So why? Because, as I have already said earlier, that only P0 and W1 are non-zero. For the particular string that you are considering, there is no transverse momentum that the string carries, and so P0 is the only component, the energy component, and the string winds only along the x1 direction. Okay, just by charge conservation, because we didn't have any winding charge to begin with in the other directions, so the final state strings do not carry any winding charge in those directions. So now, if we recall, okay, this is forced to be equal to pi. That is the definition. Pi was the total winding charge. Okay. So the final winding charge better be equal to pi. This is capital pi. Okay. This is forced to be equal to pi over e, because this is the total energy and the final total energy was supposed to be pi over e. Using this, we can easily verify that this object, what is this? This is the product. So you can see from this expression that if you take the product of first times the last, where is that? Right? No. If you take the square of this and then divide by this, you get this one, right? Okay, P0 square W1 square divided by P0 square. Okay. So this is the square of the last one divided by this, and that is simply minus pi times c. Okay. And this was precisely the prediction from open string theory. Okay. So this then shows that when D bends with electric field decay, okay, again the same open closed duality holds, namely the tree level open string analysis gives you certain results about the final state charges, okay, and the same results also come out by doing the analysis of the final state closed strings that are produced in the decay of the D-bran. So I think that's the end of the talk.
What happened to the other moments of T-mu and S-mu? Presumably those are also conserved charge. If you don't average, but you just take Fourier transform.
Yeah. I mean, what happens there is that if you don't do averaging, then you have to talk about the local distribution of T mu nu and S mu nu.
So still, that was my next question, which is this object are not well defined. I mean, the off shell.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
But even the average is off shell in a sense, right?
No, see, the average denotes coupling to zero momentum graviton and dilaton.
I see.
Right? So those are on shell. So those are the ones which are genuinely physical and must agree between the two calculations. The precise local dependence, right, that's off shell. And so there you don't expect that there should be, there is no reason to try to match them. Okay, if there is a magnetic field, I think things are not so interesting, because once the D-brain decays, right, the effect of the magnetic field goes away completely. Because if you put in a magnetic field, there is really no conserved charge associated with that. Okay, so you don't get anything. And the tachyon vacuum, if you fix the magnetic field and let the tachyon roll towards its vacuum, okay, you consider the magnetic field effect simply goes away. I mean, one way to see this perhaps is that if you look at magnetic field, you can again use Cyber-Guitton map to relate this to the situation without magnetic field. Okay, so that changes the effective metric, okay, in the direction in the plane of the magnetic field. Okay, but since you are talking about homogeneous decay of the D-brain, okay, that change in metric you don't see. That's just an overall scaling. Here, for example, in the presence of electric field, the metric in the zero direction changed.
Okay, okay. So it's the metric in the zero direction that's critical.
That's right, yeah. And because you are talking about a time-dependent solution, right, that the change in the metric in the zero direction did have some effect. Okay. Whereas for magnetic field, that will not happen.
So the closed strings know about the electric field just because of the boundary state, or do they couple directly to it? Do the rack states couple directly to it?
Yeah, so the boundary state contains that information. So if you look at the boundary state in the presence of electric field, right, then in the boundary state there are already winding closed string states. So the boundary state contains already wound closed strings.
Mm-hmm. But the closed string spectrum in the bulk doesn't contain the electric field parameter. No.
Closed string spectrum in the bulk is exactly identical to in flat space, because the D-brains are localized objects, right? It doesn't, so the closed string spectrum in the bulk doesn't care about what kind of D-brains you have. So the presence of the D-brain only affects the kind of closed string radiation you will have, okay? But the same closed strings are there even before you put on the electric field. Are there any other questions? Okay.